I know that our brother doesn't need any introduction, but I would ask for him your prayerful and careful attention. I know that his desire is to deliver what the Lord would have him to deliver. And his desire is that we would listen, that it would encourage us and strengthen us, that we'd be able to walk closer each day to the Lord. So give our brother your careful and prayerful attention, our brother and pastor, Gordon McCann.
Brother Hubert, good morning. How's everybody this morning? Well, I don't know. I think, Brother Stephen, you just kind of stepped in the middle of something I was going to preach about this morning during Sunday school, and you'll understand when I proceed here. My topic this morning is America needs to repent. And that's kind of a broad statement because it includes all of us that live here in America. I have an interesting statement that was made by a guy named David Murren. He was he's the co-founder of the Emergent Asset Management Company. And this company, he was speaking on the Squawk Box Europe. It's a radio station where they have different individuals that come and they have commentary and different things like that. And he appeared on their show. He's an author. He authored a book, Breaking the Code of History. And I'm going to read to you just some of the excerpts of his statements that he made. And I'm going to cover a little bit of that this morning. So David Murren, he's the, like I said, he is the co-founder of this Emergent Asset Management. What that is, it's a company that manages, is an investment firm that deals with hedge funds and other equity investments. And it typically, in this particular company, they cater to the more wealthy people. And they basically, they operate out of South Africa and the United Kingdom. This is what he said when he was interviewed, and it was after they had asked him, they had been talking about the health care package that was passed here in the United States this past week, and and he made this statement. He says, "I think sometimes long-term history impacts the now, and we're in it like a schism," speaking of the day we live. "Like two tectonic plates that suddenly shift after 100 years of energy building up. And that's really the end of the Western Christian Empire." So he's comparing this enactment of the healthcare program to two tectonic plates jamming together, and then they relieve and cause a disastrous earthquake. And he's referring it to the Western Christian Empire. It's bigger than the British Empire, the American Empire. It's the sum of all the Christian empires for nearly 900 years. And America is the last one. And when the last one changes and declines, which it is in, it will be very rapid. It's the end of the whole system. At the same time, the system that rises challenges far quicker as it moves into the vacuum created by the old system. And that's the East. The surprise will be the rate of that change. And we view the new administration in America as a new hope. Unfortunately, If you look at historical precedents of underclass and the mechanisms of an underclass actually coming to the fore demographically, it is not New Hope. Now, to interpret that, that means that when you have this beautiful middle class that we used to have starts moving towards the lower class realm, where the majority of the people within the society become lower class, and there's just a percentage of higher class people, it will not support the country. And that's what he's saying, that there is no hope in that. It's the beginning of the end. And we're seeing that very quickly take place. The refusal of Obama to commit to the missile defense system in Poland was a terrible sign to the adversaries of America. They say it is as weakness. They see it as weakness. And in fact, if you look at Chinese policy since the articulation, it's been far more aggressive and expansive. So the moment that the incumbent shows its inability to project power and use the power it has, the challengers move forward very quickly. 56% of their society is male, speaking of the East, China. In a normal society, it's 51%. That's 5% of extra risk capital, meaning there's 5% more males to go to war that they can expend to beat you. That's what it means. And what that means is that there are far more risk-oriented than actually a society in the West, meaning they don't have anything to lose. I thought it interesting, those comments, several of them. One, that what he's seeing in the United States, what that represents, he's attaching it to the end of the Christian era, because the United States was the last vestige of that era. Europe has fallen long ago. It shouldn't be new to you, because if you had been listening to sermons, Brother Don McIndoe has made those comments. But it's interesting that David Murren, who, like I said, co-authored the book Breaking the Code of History, he is looking at history. He's looking at it, and he's familiar with it, and he understands that's what's happening. And with that collapse of this Christian nation, there's going to be another power that's going to insert itself, and it's going to happen very quickly. And now, is that anything different than what the Lord says in those things in the days of the end? That those things will move quickly? You're experiencing history. There was another interesting thing that I would like to bring to your attention also, that has been being taken place in the background. You don't see it very often. And because of all the events that have been taking place in Congress and the Senate concerning the health care bill, but we have our Secretary of State has been negotiating different things. Obviously, the nuclear treaty with Russia, which quite honestly scares me, but there was another thing that she's been doing. She's pretty active. Now, you got to understand that what I'm bringing you today is going to be in the context of what the scriptures is going to say and how it relates to us. And that's the whole purpose behind this. The title, America Needs to Repent. The Secretary of State, Hillary Clinton, it says, Israel's ambassador to the United States, Michael Oren, has told the country's diplomats there that U.S.-Israeli relations face their worst crisis in 35 years. Despite attempts by Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu's office to project a sense of business as usual, Oren was speaking to the Israeli Council's general in a conference call on Saturday night. Netanyahu consulted Sunday with the forum of seven senior cabinet ministers over a list of demands that the U.S. Secretary of State, Hillary Clinton, made in a telephone conversation Friday. So, she's placed demands on Israel as to how they're supposed to run their country. That's pretty nice, isn't it? The boldness of our secretary telling Israel what they're supposed to do. Haaretz has learned that Clinton's list includes at least four steps the United States expects Netanyahu to carry out to restore confidence in bilateral relations and permit the resumption of peace talks with the Palestinians. First one is to investigate the process that led to the announcement of the Ramat Shalom construction plans in the middle of Biden's visit. They're all upset because when Biden was over there, they made the announcement that they're going to build on the east side of Jerusalem. Basically what it is there's a hill up there, and they've had some developments up there, and they have a bunch of forest up there. And they are in need to have housing, low-cost housing, for their people, Israel. And this developer has worked with the government, and they were going to develop these homes up here. It's up on the hill overlooking Jerusalem. And they have many families that are living, you know, eight people in a home because there's not enough apartments in different places for them to live. And so this is what they're doing. But also it's a strategic point as well, because it does. It overlooks Jerusalem, and it's a strategic point for Israel to occupy as well, and the protection of their nation. The Americans seek an official response from Israel on whether this was a bureaucratic mistake or a deliberate act carried out for political reasons. Already on Saturday night, Netanyahu announced the convening of a committee to look into the issue. Upset Mr. Biden, our vice president. Number two, reverse the decision by the Jerusalem District Planning and Building Committee. That's the committee that approved it. The 1,600 new housing units in Ramat Shalom. Make a substantial gesture towards the Palestinians, enabling the renewal of peace talks. The Americans suggested that hundreds of Palestinian prisoners be released. That would be like, well, let me see, I don't know. It would be like another foreign country tell us that, all right, you have a whole bunch of prisoners that, well, it would be just like the prisoners that we have that we got from the war, from over in Afghanistan or in Iraq. Hey, you've got to let them go. And we're telling you, you got to let them go, or you're going to, we're not going to have this relationship with you anymore. You know? Because it would be the same thing. That the Israel Defense Forces withdraw from additional areas of the West Bank and transfer them to Palestinian control. So that would be like saying, okay, California, you know, the majority of the population, there is a majority of the population there is Hispanic. Guess what? Everything from Los Angeles down to the southern shore of California, yeah, you have to turn that over to Mexico, because the majority of them occupy it. And we think that's right for you to do. It'd be no different. Withdraw from additional areas of the West Bank and transfer them to the Palestinian control, that the siege of the Gaza Strip be eased and further roadblocks in the West Bank be removed. Remember, the Gaza Strip is where they've been shooting missiles over to Israel, trying to kill them. Issue an official declaration that the talks with the Palestinians, even indirect talks, will deal with all the conflict's core issues, borders and refugees and Jerusalem, security arrangements, water and settlements. Now the response, I don't know if you listen to the news or whatever, but this last incursion by Hamas and that, they killed a couple of Israeli soldiers. And the response from the Palestinians and Hamas said that was a gift we gave to Israel. A couple of dead soldiers for you. So these are the people that our Secretary of State are saying you have to negotiate with. So what does that have to do with America? It has a lot to do with America. Because what does the scripture say when America turns their back on Israel? Who knows? any nation that turns their back or fights against Israel in the last days, they're not going to prosper. They're not going to prosper. God is going to protect his covenant people. And so it's all these little things that you can see one by one by one. And here, not necessarily a Christian individual, he called it. He can see it. Why? Because he reads history. He knows. He understands where we're at in the day that we live. But who doesn't see it? America. America doesn't see it. The majority of Americans do not see it. They don't understand it. They are still in a stupor, in a fog, concerned about the next ball game that they can go to or the next thing they can buy or whatever it is. You know, that's what they're thinking about, not realizing that those tectonic plates have slipped and the tsunami is on its way. Remember when that happened? It went out and it came back in and flooded and overran the country. And so it will be with America if we do not, as a body of people, repent. When I listen to the news and I listen to the different ones on the opposite side of saying, how can we try and correct these kinds of things, you know, they look to themselves. They look to themselves that by whatever power within the individuals, they can these tea parties and different things, they're going to make these changes. But is that going to happen? And will that affect the change? In the Book of Mormon, on page 698, this is Mormon chapter 2. We have a General Mormon of this army of the Nephites. Remember, this is around 375 AD. This is the decline of the Nephite Empire. Remember, over 200 years they had peace and prosperity. Then they started to, then the influence of Satan started to come into the society. And then the Gideon and robbers started coming in. They within a short period of time, they started falling. And so here's this 65-year-old general who had said earlier, I am through with you because you will not repent. And he dismissed himself for a while, and then he then says in the 26th verse here, he says, I did repent in my desire to try and help, but I knew it was of no avail. And so you read his statement in verse 27, he says, behold, I was without hopes, for I knew the judgments of the Lord which should come upon them, for they repented not of their iniquities, but did struggle for their lives without calling upon that being who created them. And so that's what I see today when I listen to the TV commentators or I'm listening to the radio commentators, and as I hear different ones talk about this, I have yet, unless I'm within church, hear anything about repentance. And maybe wanting a desire to correct those things that are opposite of God in this nation. In fact, our brother Stephen brought to our attention that we're going to make it even worse. We're going to support a lot of other ugly things in our society and not say that it was wrong and put it away. America needs to repent. And that cry is going to have to go out. And it's going to be of those, the prophets and those who have been called in these last days, to cry repentance. this body of Christ is going to be called to call repentance to this nation. This all has a lot to do with the plan of, well, it has everything to do with the plan of God, but with the statement that God had made. Let's turn to 1 Nephi in the 7th chapter. Here in the 7th chapter, Nephi, it's not a very long chapter, it's just several pages, but he takes us from, he tries to explain to his brethren those things that were written. There were specific things that were written in the plates of brass. And he, in a very short period of time, explains to them what that meant concerning the house of Israel. But before I get there, on the 21st verse, that's on page 74, the Lord makes this statement. And I would, my brethren, that ye should know that all the kindreds of the earth cannot be blessed unless he shall make bare his arm in the eyes of the nations. Wherefore the Lord God will proceed to make bare his arm in the eyes of all the nations in bringing about his covenants, his gospel, unto those who are of the house of Israel. There's another scripture verse that where the Lord says that the kingdom of Satan must be shaken, just like an earthquake. And that has everything to do with the Lord bearing his arms before the nation. Because what he is going to be doing, and what he has already started, is bringing the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Book of Mormon, that testimony of the things that were written in the Bible are true. The restoration of the gospel that is already done. That restored gospel going to the Gentiles for a specific purpose, right? That they would be the standard bearer of that gospel. And then the next step was the Gentiles would reject the restored gospel, which we're living today. The Gentiles, you try and convert one of your neighbors concerning the true gospel of Jesus Christ. Just try it. I mean, it's fine. We can testify of it, but it's a hard deal because they reject it. It is too restrictive. It is too foreign from the mainstream Christianity that they've heard that is now collapsing. What's the next thing? The restored gospel goes forth unto all the nations. We're seeing that. The avenues that have been opened up to the apostles and the evangelists within the Church of Christ, God is opening up those doors. Fulfilling the scriptures where it's talking about that the poor of the nations will hear the word of God. And then the last restored gospel is used to bring Israel out of obscurity and darkness. And that obscurity and darkness is the rejection that they had rejected the fullness of the gospel. As I read the words of Mormon, that general long ago who helped write and consolidate some of the words that are here in this Book of Mormon, that he saw the destruction of his people, the complete destruction of his people with his son. And he knew that someday God would restore Israel, but they would have to know and understand what they did and why they were in that state and who would redeem them, even Jesus Christ, and how they would come before God in perfectness through the doctrine of Jesus Christ. we're living in that day today. Now, where Nephi in the seventh chapter was explaining, he had made a statement in the sixth chapter, verses 52 through 56, there on page 72. It says, "Thus saith the Lord God, behold, I will lift up mine hand to the Gentiles and set up my standard to the people, and they shall bring thy sons in the arms, and thy daughters shall be carried upon their shoulders. And the kings shall be the nursing fathers, and their queens thy nursing mothers. They shall bow down to thee with their face towards the earth and lick up the dust of thy feet. And thou shalt know that I am the Lord. For they shall not be ashamed that wait for me. For shall the prey be taken from the mighty, or the lawful captives delivered? But thus saith the Lord, even the captives of the mighty shall be taken away, and the prey of the terrible shall be delivered. For I will contend with him that contendeth with thee, and I will save thy children, and I will feed them that oppress thee with their own flesh, and they shall be drunken with their own blood as with sweet wine. And all the flesh shall know that I, the Lord, am thy Savior and thy Redeemer, the Mighty One of Jacob." Those few verses of Scripture from 52 to 56 painted a complete picture to Nephi concerning the history of Israel and how they were going to be reclaimed of God. So Nephi, his brothers, you know, said, "Well, what does this mean? What does it mean? I don't understand it." Nephi understood it plainly. They said, "We don't understand it. Does it mean, is it something temporal or is it something spiritual? What is it?" And Nephi said, "It's both, temporal and spiritual." And we have history, our living history of the United States, showing the temporal and the spiritual. It was in 1948, Harry Truman, our president, along with the United Kingdom, was instrumental in establishing Israel back in their homelands. So that was that temporal carrying them on our shoulders and doing the right thing at that time. At the beginning of the war, we didn't want to do that because it wasn't convenient at the time. And those who could escape did, but many didn't, and they died. That's history. But in 1948, the uprising, they said, "Okay, well, we'll support that." And they did. And from 1948 until our day, our dispensation time, we supported Israel. We helped them build their army and their air force and helped to develop their society, gave them the tools and the money and the support and the protection so that they could protect their people and build their homelands. But now that's all changing. That's changing as a nation. Our focus is changing. Now we're asking Israel to support their enemies. And we're telling Israel, "If you don't, we're going to take our support from you." We're turning our backs on Israel as a nation. America is. In the book of Ether, chapter 1, let's get over here. Here in verse 30 through 35, some page 717. Here's a very familiar promise. It was echoed this morning in our Sunday school. Our brother Hubert. In verse 30 it says, "And he had sworn in his wrath," as speaking of the Lord, "unto the brother of Jared, that whoso should possess this land of promise, for from that time henceforth and forever should serve him, the true and only God, or they should be swept off when the fullness of his wrath should come upon them. And now we can behold the decrees of God concerning this land, that it is the land of promise, and whatsoever nation shall possess it shall serve God, or they shall be swept off when the fullness of his wrath shall come upon them. Now I want to stop there for a moment, because I don't know how many times I have listened to different commentators, Rush Limbaugh, all the different commentators, when they think of this nation and they think about the resiliency that they have seen over their lifespan or the time of its inception to now, and they attribute to our success, they do say God, but in not a full sense that you and I understand this, but they attribute to our freedoms that we are a free nation, and that it's us that is affecting this through that medium of freedom. And to some certain extent it is, but not really to the extent that we have been blessed. We are the only nation that has been blessed the way we have because of this commandment that God had placed on this land. There's a lot of other people who are in Europe that are free, that have not developed, have not become a superpower that we have. It was us who helped to bail out Europe by the power of God during World War I and II. And it was because of that promise. It wasn't because of our strength and our determination. It was because we believed in a God and we were Christian. We believed in Jesus Christ. And that promise was to us. But too often I hear that they leave that out. They don't want to talk about it because it's not convenient. That it's no different than what I read to you in Mormon, where Mormons said that they're going to struggle, but did struggle for their lives without calling upon the being who created them. That's what we see today. That's what we're seeing today in our society. People struggling, confused, not able to understand who created them, and are failing. And they're wandering around wondering why. Because they don't have the answers. Because they have rejected the things that we've tried to tell them. The things that God had tried to tell them. America needs to repent. One of the things that, let me finish from 33 to 35. And it is not until the fullness of iniquity among the children of the land that they are swept off. And this cometh unto you, O ye Gentiles, that ye may know the decrees of God, that ye may repent and not continue in your iniquities until the fullness come, that ye may not bring down the fullness of the wrath of God upon you as the inhabitants of the land hath hitherto done. Behold, this is the choice land, is a choice land, and whatsoever nation shall possess it shall be free from bondage and from captivity and from all other nations under heaven, if they will but serve the God of the land, who is Jesus Christ, who hath been manifested by the things which we have written. They would be free from bondage and from captivity and from all other nations. We are becoming a nation that is under bondage. Our freedoms are being stripped away. That's what that commentator had said, David Murren. That's what he sees. He sees what's happening to America internally. And we as a people are falling under bondage by our government. And from other nations that will dictate to us what we will and what we won't do. Financially, China's doing that today. They own us. They carry our debt. They could have sunk us a long time ago, but it's not convenient to them. They own us. If we knew what probably some of the treaty is concerning Russia, we'd probably be really frightened there if we knew the full details. We can't even tell a tin horn dictator like North Korea what to do. You know? The most powerful military in the world, and we're no different than what Rome was. Some barbarians could just go over there and wipe out a whole legion. What's Rome going to do, chase us around for a while? That's what happened. And they were all wrapped up in their politics and everything and having fun that they destroyed themselves. I don't know if you remember that there were several different sermons that I had preached about our founding fathers, and one being Abraham Lincoln. He made the statement, we're going to live as free men or we're going to die by suicide. He said that. And we're dying by suicide as a nation because of our iniquities. We could do the same thing as members of the body of Christ. We see it from time to time. When we feel it ourselves, when we stray from those things we know that is right, we suffer the consequences for it. And the Lord calls us to come back. Like what was it, Alma to his sons? Let your sins trouble you to the trouble that you will do something about it and repent. And make those changes. That's when you feel those things, be glad. Because God is showing you that He loves you. When you feel that trouble in your heart, that you're not right before Him, He's saying, I love you. You need to repent and change. And that's what He's telling this nation as a body of people. Repent. If you don't repent, you will be swept off. I have this evening. I have an opportunity to finish this sermon because I've got a bunch of scriptures I want to go over. So I'm going to save it. For this evening. So, thank you for your time.